We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, we welcome you to another edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, and the American Family Radio Network. We are in the New Testament, Book of Romans, just an amazing book on salvation, really, and the great promises of God. And later on in the show, of course, we'll take your calls and Bible questions. And Bert, it's good to be with you, good to be in the Book of Romans. Before we dive into Scripture, may I give a shout-out to a listener?
Who is it? I want to hear. Go ahead.
Well, this is Alan Roode, R-O-O-D-E, in Georgia. And Mr. and Mrs. Roode, they send me wonderful Bible verses and things. For those watching on video, I'm holding up. They'll send me quotes about America, like here John Adams says, "Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." And Andrew Jackson says, "The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests." And so, Mr. and Ms. Roode, thank you for sending me these things. I just wanted to give a thank you. I do use these things. People mail me a lot of Bible verses and quotations and historical tidbits. And for all these wonderful listeners, Bert, I mean, they tell what Exploring the Word means to them and how getting into the Scriptures has changed their life. And they pray for you and me, and they say, "Look, Alex, we saw where you're going to be, like you're going to be in Arkansas this weekend, tomorrow, and we're praying for you." And so to all those dear folks everywhere, I just want to say thank you.
Amen, Alex. I agree. And we had three guests today come to a tour through AFR. They were from Valdosta, Georgia. They said okay. They left. They had this planned. It was three sisters, and they came, and they was talking about how they love AFR and enjoy Exploring the Word so much. And so they were on a trip, a sister trip, and they were enjoying it, but they said their people back in Valdosta, theirs was fine, but said it was difficult around there. But they made this trip because they had it planned for so long. So it's good to talk with people that come our way, but also good to talk to those who we meet when we're out. So praise the Lord, Alex, for those people that love the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they also love AFR.
Well, amen. And I want to thank everybody for joining us in prayer yesterday for all that's going on in North and South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, even the destruction. And I know it does seem like much of our nation is really pulling together in prayers and support. And, you know, Bert, one of the beautiful things about the power of a sovereign, loving God is that He can bring good out of bad.
Yeah.
He can bring triumph out of tragedy, can't He?
He really can. This is what amazes me. There's three or four things. I mean, I love everything that God has done, but the things that amaze me is, one, is His mercy and grace. It astounds me, which results in forgiveness. The other is His sovereignty, that He is able to demonstrate His power in such a way that out of tragedy, He brings good out of it. Now, some of those stories we will not know until we get to heaven. But I believe in heaven, some things are going to be revealed to us. We're going to know, and it may be told to us, okay, this is what this resulted in. This is what took place while that was going on. And we can trust God. That's the bottom line. And I think Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, now, let me say, I love all of Romans, But when you get to Romans chapter 12, all of the chapter, but especially these two verses, I'm going to use it, see if you can pick up on it and go with it. They're transforming, aren't they, Alex?
That's a good word.
Yeah.
That's a really good word. You know, we concluded chapter 11 and really talking about the ultimate restoration of Israel one day. And it says, you know, that I love these verses. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Now, this is a quote from Isaiah 40. Or who hath first given to him, and it should be recompensed unto him again. Speaking of the sovereignty of God, you know, nobody has really given anything to God that God owes them back. He is all-sufficient, eternal, all in all. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's right. Now, if Romans had concluded there, still it would have been a powerful, life-changing book. But chapter 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Bert, these two verses are libraries of Christian truth, just in these two verses. Now, let me say this, and I want to throw it to you. Okay, chapter 11 concluded very much declaring not only the goodness of God, the wisdom of God, but the sovereignty of God. And in light of this, Paul says, I beseech you, why? Therefore, because of the holy, merciful, powerful, wise, on and on we could go, the good God we serve, because of who God is, we are to present our bodies completely on the altar of obedience. And I love this. In verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, let me say this. The transformation of our spirit happens the moment we trust Christ and we are regenerated. But then our mind and our life and our destiny and our Christian witness and our growth, all those things, are transformed as we trust Him and obey Him. Bert, do you remember the old song, Trust and Obey? That really is the key to the fruitful Christian life, isn't it?
It really is. It's summed up in that song, Alex. Let me share this with you. The word therefore, this is the fourth time it will be used in the book of Romans here. Now, what it is, therefore. Therefore, all the things that I've shared with you about a reprobate mind and a reprobate world going that way, what I shared with you about salvation, what I have shared with you about Israel, and I'm still working, I'm still in control. Based on that, I beseech you, brethren, that you present yourself. Now, Alex, again, this is so personal. This is Paul digging down and saying, based upon what God has done, based upon what God is doing, and based also on what God is going to do. And he's covered that a lot in the first 11 chapters. He says, present yourself a living sacrifice. Now, all of a sudden, you know you're in the New Testament, a new covenant, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. You present yourselves, and what is that? Holy. Now, again, there's been two living sacrifices before chapter 12. One was Isaac. Isaac was going to be, and then the ram took his place on the cross. On the mountain. And then Jesus Christ, the living sacrifice, who gave himself for us, and then he rose again. He is a living sacrifice. Jesus is.
Amen.
And he transforms us into being that. And notice, is it acceptable to God? This is the only way it's acceptable to God, is through Jesus Christ and what he's done. And it says, which is your worship? This is how we worship. Alex, you mentioned the hymn, Trust and Obey. Honestly, that song is a song we sing, But that song represents a worship that we have. We worship him and we obey him. It comes out of that heart that has been changed. And then it goes on. It has been changed already. We've been born again. But then in chapter 2, verse 2, it continues to work. He continues to work in our lives. And that's where you were talking about being changed, discipleship, being sanctified. I look at this as one of the most beautiful passages concerning discipleship. One more thing, and I'll throw it to you. Notice the word transformed. The word, if it could be translated, be metamorphosed. It's metamorphosed. The change is not outward first. The change is inward, just like you mentioned already. The spirit has changed, and now it is working from the inside out to change our minds and change our actions so much, our thoughts and our actions. And how does it happen? By renewing of your mind. So the whole question is this. Are you conforming or are you being transformed? The Bible says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Alex, we're to be transformed because God is in the business of transformation, isn't he?
Well, he really is. He really is. And everybody's life can be transformed. You know, very often we've talked about Philippians 4:8 that says, you know, think on the good and the true. Think on these things. And the implication there is as opposed to other things. And so a big part of the Christian life is what you think, because beliefs begat behavior. And that's why it is imperative, I believe, to fill your mind, your beliefs, your values, your priorities with God's word. You know, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right to a man, the end of which are the ways of death. Now, I gotta chase a rabbit here for a moment. And, you know, in this Bible study, very often Bert is the gas pedal and I'm the brakes because Bert, you know, I tend to go too slow, but this is worth talking about. Now, I've got Romans 12:1 here. You know, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Now, the Bible I have renders it, which is your reasonable service. What do you have, Bert, there?
Mine, the New King James, is still reasonable service, yes.
Okay. In a lot of the modern translations, it'll say, which is your spiritual service. And I'm looking at one right here. It says, a holy, pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, I know to live godly, that is spiritual, we might say. But I really do think reasonable is better, and I'll tell you why. Because I looked it up in the Greek, and it's the word logical. Logical. That's all right, and some translations say rational. Now, what does this mean? Okay, surrender, obey, present your bodies, a living sacrifice, lay on the altar, a holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, here's what Paul is saying. It's only right. He died for you. We're supposed to live for him. You live for him, you'll be blessed in every way. You'll grow. You'll mortify the flesh. You'll get victorious over sin. And Bert, let me just say, I always kind of squirm when some of these more modern translations do things that sound good. And I can just picture a translator going, oh, which is your spiritual service? That fits so good. No, the word is logical. To live for Jesus who died for me, that's rational. That's reasonable. And frankly, that's also in the Greek.
And when that happens, we're not conformed. We're not pressed in to the world's mold. Alex, we're to let God do the changing. Don't go away. When you come back, there's going to be a little special introduction song. So don't go away. You'll want to listen.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies by introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love. Her baby's chance at life doubles. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250. B-A-B-Y, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. preborn.com/AFR.
Come on, I'm going to teach y'all a new song. You're going to love it. Here it goes. Bullfrogs and butterflies, we've both been born again. I'm singing about bullfrogs and butterflies. We've both been born again. Come on, try it with me. Bullfrogs and butterflies. We've both been born again. That's it. Come on. Bullfrogs and butterflies. We've both been born again.
Amen. That's a children's song from several years back. And my wife, Jan, used to do children's choirs and down by the creek bank and things like that, and bullfrogs and butterflies. It's called metamorphosis, and that's the word, transformed. In other words, the change is from within. It was a tadpole, and then it became a bullfrog, and then butterflies, it was a caterpillar, and then it spun itself, and then out burst a beautiful butterfly. I want to ask you, what's taking place on the inside of your heart and your life today? Is God working on the inside so the outside you can become all God wants you to become? Alex, I know it's a children's song, but when I was going over that today and I thought about it, I said, Brent took time to find it. Do you remember that song?
I don't, but I was loving that song. What a wonderful little song. Who was that, Bert?
Well, Brent, do you remember who sang that? I can't remember, but it was, go ahead, Brent.
It was Wesley's Whippets.
Yeah.
On YouTube. I think you told me that one of the, I don't remember the songwriter, was it Dottie Rambo?
No, it was in her book. I thought she's the one that presented it and in Down by the Creek Bank, but it was just a song, and I thought it would be us. I think there may be children that's in the back seat with moms and mothers that are, bringing them home from school, and that to get their attention, and so it's worth listening to.
Exactly.
So anyway, Alex. Yeah,
well, thank you for picking that out. That was really good.
And really.
Now I'm going to want to get online and find that song.
We heard the whole thing earlier today, but do not be conformed to this world. Don't be pressed into the mold of the world. Listen, the world will lead you astray, but be transformed, be metamorphosed. How do you do that? Be in that change, the renewing of your mind. His mercies are new every morning. You've got to stay in the Word of God. There's three or four things. You pray and you serve. I just want to share with you, don't take away service from growing in the Lord. Alex, I just say this, going to the hospitals in my life, going to nursing homes, funeral homes, going to emergency rooms, going to families that were hurting, and trying to minister and help and serve, I want to just tell you, it will humble you, it will keep you, and it will help you understand what God is up to and how he's working. So, yes, read the Word of God, pray. But I want to tell you, find a place of service, because we're going to get to that in just a moment. And I'm introducing it, and I'll throw it back to you in just a moment. What he's going to transfer is ministry. In other words, this is the work God has done in your life. This is the work God is doing in your life. And what does it result in? It results in the body of Christ working together to bring glory to God. Alex, Romans chapter 12 is not just practical, but it's beautiful in where he starts and how it results and what it comes from that.
Well, you know, this is a great book of doctrine. I mean, throughout the opening chapters of Romans, I mean, that's why, you know, I've often said that this is probably my favorite book of the Bible. I mean, we love all of the Word, but I do love the book of Romans, and it is so powerful on salvation and just the doctrinal realities of the biblical worldview. But now it's getting really, really practical. I mean, and it's convicting. Let me read on, and then I want to talk a little bit about this. But Paul says, and remember, verse 2 concluded, you know, it is the will of God that we live a sanctified, obedient life. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Now, Bert, that's powerful, verse 5. Let me just say, in verse 3, though, to not think more highly of ourselves than we should, but think soberly. Now, I looked up that word, and it really means, obviously, not to be high-minded, but the word is actually behooves. You've heard people say, it behooves me to do this or that. Paul is saying, think of yourself in a way that behooves you before God. Now, what does that mean? Don't get the big head. Bert, is that a fair translation?
It really is, Alex.
Where to be?
Yeah. It is.
That's about the best way I can render that.
Let me just say this about it, and it take place. When you see that word soberly, in other words, mm-hmm. you are looking at yourself as you really are, and you're looking at yourself through God. In other words, don't think of yourself more highly than you should, but look at yourself in an honest way. Now, that means one or two things. Don't think of yourself more highly than you should, but at the same time, he's going to give us gifts, and don't go away and say, well, I'm nothing. No, God has gifted you first with salvation, and now he's going to gift you with his grace of ministry. So it's a mm-hmm. balance is the word. Think of yourself in Amen. A balanced way. Alex, go ahead.
Well, and I promise I'm not trying to sound sanctimonious or anything. I'm really not, but 30-plus years ago when I was youth pastor at Macedonia Baptist, where I got saved, I was youth pastor. And Angie and I were living in Lynchburg, but I was commuting back to be youth pastor. Mark Sink and I, rest his soul, we did custodial duties together. And I remember one weekend I was cleaning one of the bathrooms, and I thought, I'm so blessed to empty waste baskets and take out the trash, but I'm doing it for Jesus. And then the next day, I was teaching Sunday school and doing the youth. I think about my friend Lee Strobel, who wrote The Case for Christ, best-selling Christian book, amazing defender of the faith. And he was doing a conference for us. He said, I got to get back to church, because on Sunday morning, I'd set out the cones and I'd do the traffic in the parking lot. And I was like, wow, you're on 60 Minutes, best-selling Christian author, but Sunday morning you're directing traffic in the parking lot, Lee Strobel. Now, I'm not saying that to pat ourselves on the back, but look, any service for Jesus is an honor. I mean, preaching the word, that's a great, great privilege that we're not worthy of. But I want to say to everybody, whether you cut the grass or help change the light bulbs or serve on the finance committee or greet the people with a smile, anything we do for the Great Commission and the Savior is a profound honor to be doing it, isn't it, Bert?
Amen, Alex. Well said. I just want to give a testimony here at AFR. We do have a cleaning service, but once a week they come. But listen, each one person, every person from all the places, we'll have an assignment 2 times a year when we've got our areas to clean. It really is a beautiful thing to see leadership out there working, running the vacuum cleaner, Mine was 2 weeks ago. Man, I told folks I know how to run things around my house like a vacuum cleaner and a dishwasher. But, you know, listen, this is true, Alex. What you just said is so true that we humble ourselves. And listen to what it says in verse 4. Listen. And it's the New King James, for as we have many members in one body. Listen, in a body, each member is dependent upon the other. But all the members do not have, now you said office. I love this, function. Same function.
Yes.
Each one of them has something that they're uniquely theirs. And I just want to say, regardless of what your spiritual gift might be, your personality, your experience, your abilities, and all the things that you have, develop that spiritual gift to be uniquely yours. Even though I might have the gift of exhortation or encouragement, and somebody else might have the gift of encouragement, I'm out there. I'm loud. I know that, and I'm kind of hyper. Those are all words that describe me. But I know some other folks that have the same gift of encouragement, and they have the same gift of exhortation, and they're quiet, they're more meek, but they still get it done. And this is what makes this so unique, that each person in the body of Christ has their position, their function. And Alex, listen to verse 5. Now, you may want to go back, and I'm not rushing ahead, but I think putting it together will help. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it as ministering. He who teaches in teaching, who exhorts in exhortation, who he gives liberally. He who leads or administers with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, Alex, he doesn't say which one of these is the most important. He just gives them out there. Now, I went to a conference, and I kind of agree. These are motivation gifts. These are gifts that kind of, I know when I preach, one of the greatest things that I love to do is encourage believers to walk in Christ.
Amen.
I think it comes across on this radio program. I'm encouraging those. Yes, I do. I want folks to be saved, but those that listen, I'm encouraging them to stay with the stuff, to go on with God. And your gift of teaching comes across. Have you noticed? Okay, let me see what this word soberly means in the Greek word. Let me look at see what that says. Each one of us has these gifts, and we may have more than one, but some of them seem to motivate us to a higher plane of not closer to God, but to do what God's called us to do. What is it? It's one body, but each one having their own function. That's the way the church Amen. Ought to be running, isn't it?
It is. It really is. And the idea that we're connected, that there's the head of the church is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head. But the body of Christ, and I know everybody's heard it said, the hands and feet of Jesus. That's why we can give a cup of cold water in his name. And that's why just all over the world, charity and benevolence and helping others and lifting up the fallen for 20 centuries now at the forefront of human mercy showing has always been the church,
Amen.
The body of Christ.
Amen.
And this idea that we need each other, that is an absolutely unique concept. In all the world's religions, there's, you know, do this and rituals for that. In Christianity, just like the branches grafted in, well, when you get saved, you become part of a family, the body of Christ. You become part of a body. Christ is in you. You're in Jesus. But we are all connected. That's why, let me just say this. You've heard of a medical condition where someone is spastic. And people have what they call spasmodic behaviors. Bert, I've ministered in a lot of context, and I've seen neurological disorders where people completely lose muscle function, and I've seen people hitting themselves, and it's very tragic to see stuff like that. because that's not the way the body was made to function. The body was made to function in a healthy, productive way, not a harmful, destructive way. When Christians don't get along or Christians split with each other, it's very sad because, as verse 5 says, everyone members of one another. You know, nobody would, want to harm themselves or amputate your hand or something. And that would be destructive. Well, we, the body of Christ, we need each other. We do. I got to say one other thing that's just amazing. Verse 8, you know, and you were talking about these ministry gifts of, you know, whether it be teaching or exhortation. And Bert, you do have the gift of exhortation. We had Bert speak at one of our Truth for New Generation conferences. I remember we were in South Carolina, and the venue we were at was, I don't know, easily 2,000 people. And I remember you spoke, and you had that crowd believing they could charge hell with a squirt gun, you know, for Christ. I mean, you exhorted the word. This is so good. I'm going to say it, and I'll throw it to you. You've heard of the word paraclete, yeah, the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside. Well, this word here, the body of Christ, encouraging each other, and some, like Bert Harper, have the gift of exhortation. That word is similar to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to lift up, to encourage. But the word there really means to summon forth. Now, isn't that something, Bert? Amen. That when we're telling people, stand for Jesus, be a witness, love your neighbor, spread the gospel, find your spiritual gift, plug into a local church, use it. Exhorting is summoning forth the best in each and every fellow believer, isn't it?
It really is, and I've been accused of being the cheerleader, and I do. Man, we can do this. Let's follow Christ. But I want to go to verse 9 to close us out just for a moment. We'll come back to it. But what it keeps it all running the way it should, like blood and oxygen in a real body, let love be without hypocrisy. The love of Jesus Christ and the love for one another causes the body to function correctly. And that's the reason the greatest of these in 1 Corinthians, after Paul got through talking about the body and how it needed we need one another, he said, love is the priority. So love is the circulatory that keeps the body function. Love for the Lord Jesus and love for one another. Well, Alex, you want to take phone calls in the next segment?
Now that number, folks, is 888-589-8840. Call now with your Bible question, 888-589-8840, and we'll get to your calls after this.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association. Hey, if your travels for work or pleasure take you out of town, take AFR with you. You may already know you can listen to the AFR app on your phone, but wait, there's more. If your vehicle is equipped with Apple CarPlay, it can open the AFR app directly. That means you get easier control, and that means it's safer. Safer to use so you can stay informed on what you need to know to keep your family safe. And if you don't already have the AFR app, get it today. It's always free in the App Store.
After working at AFR for long enough, one begins to recognize there is a rhythm to our year, a cycle. Every 6 months, we hold Share-a-thon. We throw open the phones and encourage our listeners to partner with us financially. And our listeners encourage us through their outpouring of support. It affirms that AFR is effectively sharing the love and truth of Christ in our world.
Fall Share-a-thon is coming October 8th through 10th, and it's your chance to partner with us.
And then, after that amazing infusion of support, we're equipped to get back to the business of broadcasting, producing shows, providing insight, platforming our ministry partners. And before you know it, preparation begins again for our next 3-day Share-a-thon. It's a rhythm, and it's a real honor to partner with so many of our listeners as we serve the Lord.
Join us October 8th through the 10th for Share-a-thon on American Family Radio.
The devil thought he had a hold of me. He told so many lies that I believed. Got too weak to carry on. I thought that I was too far gone. But then I heard a voice from Calvary. And now I'm singing, no more shackles on my feet.
No more shackles. In Jesus, we are set free. Hey, welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert, so glad that you're listening. Very honored to do our best to give an answer to the Bible questions. The number, if you want to call in with a question, is 888-589-8840. And Brent Austin tells us that we're just a few, couple of hundred away from 10,000 likes on Facebook. So if you haven't followed our Facebook page, the Exploring the Word page on Facebook, hey, take a minute tonight and look at that. There's all these postings. Brent Austin looks after that so faithfully. And if you would like us on Facebook, and we're just going to celebrate when we hit 10,000. But Bert, where shall we begin in our phone calls?
We're going to go to the state of North Carolina, and it's Timothy. Thank you, Timothy, for calling.
Oh, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on, brother. Appreciate it.
Yes. I know in the Bible it says we'll be rewarded in heaven, but if rewards aren't based on, like, good works, and what does that mean exactly? How will we be rewarded?
Thank you, Timothy. I want to tell you, great question. Listen, heaven is because of God's grace in us, saving us as we served him, as we trusted him, I'd say. But rewards is based upon what we've done after our salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, verse 10, it makes it plain, for we are his workmanship unto good works. And God wants to say, hey, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And sometimes a reward will be given for that service. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 and 13, Paul says, if any man builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, the foundation that gets built upon is salvation. Salvation is a free gift. You receive it. We're born again. But like Bert said, everything post-salvation, there's going to be a reward. And we think about the word reward like a trophy or a medal, but there's going to be a result. And some are going to get gold, silver, precious stones. And we should want rewards in heaven, because in Revelation it says that we're going to lay those crowns at his feet. But Bert, there's also results for disobedience and carnality, wood, hay, and stubble. And I know the greatest reward of all is to get to be with Jesus and be in heaven. I mean, in some ways, heaven is its own reward. But, Bert, everything we do faithfully after having trusted Christ, he's going to give us crowns in heaven for that. I mean, his grace is just more than we deserve.
Amen. And one of my favorite groups is Casting Crowns. I know it's a singing group, but I want to be a group in heaven that's casting the crowns that we've been given at his feet.
Amen.
So let's serve the Lord with gladness. Another Timothy from Louisiana. Timothy, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. I'm just calling to ask, curious why that we're always saying that, like, Paul was a Jew when he wasn't from the tribe of Judah. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. And the other 10 tribes, which were taken into captivity 600 or something years earlier, you know, Joseph received all the material blessings and everything. And why the country of Israel is just those two tribes. It's not the entire tribe of Israel.
Okay, Timothy. Good question. Let me just share with you. After the 10 northern tribes were, you know, taken, they weren't just taken captive. They were defeated and they were dispersed. But many of those from those northern tribes, 10, some of them went back into Judah, where the name Jew would come from. And they still knew which tribe they were from Benjamin or wherever, Alex. But they grouped them together there in Judah, and it would become a Jew. Go ahead.
Yeah, a good question would be, can you name two Sauls in the Bible that were both from the tribe of Benjamin?
That's right. Same two. Old and new,
Saul of
both,
Tarsus,
right?
Yeah, and Israel's first king was King Saul. You know, Paul, like in Philippians 3, would make much of his Jewish heritage. He said, if anybody thinks they have confidence in the flesh, I have more, Paul said. Circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. So, as they would say today, you know, in Acts 21:39, Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He had his Jewish bona fides, didn't he?
He was
as Israeli as it gets.
Amen. Timothy, hope that helps. Let's go to Virginia. Betty, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Yes, you're on. Go right ahead.
Okay, I was just recently moved to this part of section of Richmond, and I was out in one of the outer counties, and I had heard where Alex was going to be at Berea Baptist Church, and for some reason I thought it was downtown and didn't pursue it. And then I heard him talking to Mark Jenkins just a few days ago when he was in Israel, and I thought, oh my goodness, he was at the church where I used to be a member. So I looked it up, and it's very near me. So I drove down there today to see where it was. And then I pulled it up and listened to Alex's sermon that he gave on September the 16th. And I just wanted to let him know how that inspired me and touched me. I had not heard an evangelistic message like that since I left Chattanooga in 2000.
Amen. Alex, praise
you
the Lord,
so
brother.
Sweet. God bless you, Betty. Well, to God be the glory. And let me say, we had the best time in Richmond. The dearest people, my dear friend Brad Howard, Mark Jenkins, the great folks at Berea Baptist, and then we did a big thing out there at the Hanover Vegetable Farm, a big outdoor, kind of a crusade day. And so, Betty, we love Richmond, and I'm anxious to come back any chance I get.
Amen. Evangelist, if you are interested in Alex coming and great evangelistic work, apologetic work, you get more than either one. You get both of Alex. They can go to alexmcfarland.com, and you can get your name in there. He's a busy guy. I know he's already got scheduled in 2025 a lot, so churches, I think you'd enjoy him a lot. Let's go to Steve in Arkansas. Steve, thank you for calling.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead, brother.
Yes.
Hey, Bert and Alex, really appreciate you guys and listen to you almost every day. But had a quick question. I heard Alex the other day talk about the Lazarus and the beggar.
Yes.
And he said that wasn't, I'd always, probably a lot of people too, thought that was a parable. And I think I'd heard you say, what, it's not a parable.
Okay, Steve, let me make one comment. Alex, you take it away. Yeah. I heard one guy, Mike Smithy, he's gone to be of the Lord. He was the first preacher that surrendered under my ministry, just a great guy. And he was, you know, we believe it's a real deal. He's told those that believe it a parable, said, if it is a parable, can you think about how bad it really is? Because a parable would only get part of it. Can you imagine how bad hell really is? If it were a parable, but he agreed with me it's a real deal. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, thank you so much, Steve. I really do think that this is Luke 16:19-31. I think it's a real account, and I'll tell you why. For one thing, it's the only, if it is a parable, it's the only parable in which you have proper names. Lazarus, Abraham. And the rich man says, you know, I have five brothers, you know. The other thing is all the others seem to say, and he spoke a parable to his disciples saying, comma, this doesn't start that way. Jesus starts out, there was a certain rich man. There's not a lot of ambiguity there. A certain rich man. So as, and I agree with Bert, even if it was a symbolistic parable, well, the reality of hell would be even worse. But I don't know, Bert, it seems to be an actual account, and it's a fearful account, and it will make you want to turn to Christ and be saved.
Alex,
it does for me.
It does me too. It, listen, if they listen to the reasons you said it's probably real, the names, Lazarus, Abraham, the five brethren, not saying, and he shared, you know, no, it sounds like a real live event. It really does. Hey, we appreciate that, Steve. Let's go to Texas and talk to Linda. Linda, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. This is your poetry lady from Texas, and I just wanted to share with you the practicality of the gifts. We also received the same teaching in the Gothard seminars, and a bunch of us couples were going, and after we received that teaching, we were getting ready to go the next night, and we were at one house, and the lady from the house brought food out to the table and tripped and dropped the bowl with whatever it is, and I'm serious. The one who had the gift of prophecy said, you know, if you weren't trying to do so much at one time, you wouldn't have done that. I was the mercy, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry that this happened. The exhorter said, okay, let's do this, let's do that, let's do that. The organizer said, okay, you come do this, you come do that. The giver said, I'll buy you a new bowl. And we all started cracking up because it literally worked it out. And, I mean, it just proves that Scripture is absolutely true.
Linda, thank you for that. I've heard the same story.
That's
that
beautiful.
Was a real one. But I heard about those seven gifts go into a hospital room with somebody sick. The prophet would say, what have you done to deserve this? The mercy would fluff, showing mercy would fluff their pillows. The person that has the gift of giving, that say, now, do you have insurance? You see, I believe it does. And that's the body of Christ working. Linda, that's beautiful, wasn't it, Alex?
That's a great, great story. Perfect analogy. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay, let's go back to Arkansas. Phyllis, thank you for calling.
Good afternoon. I loved Linda's analogy. That was great. In my mother-in-law, my father-in-law was a Baptist minister. My mother-in-law, I had trouble with this election and predestination. I couldn't get it settled. And so she said, well, let me tell you this. I have two sons. And when I cook a dinner and I set green beans on the table, they're there for everybody that, you know, they're free. They're for anybody. But I, knowing in my mind who my children are and what they do, I know one son's going to eat those and the other son is not. And boy, the light went on. I thought, oh, my goodness, it's free for all. It's laid out there. But you have a choice if you're going to take it or not. And I thought, that was beautiful.
Amen. Amen, Alex. Man, aren't we getting some great illustrations today, Alex?
Hey, I think we got the best audience in radio, Bert. I really do.
And we learned, here's, I just want to turn this around a minute. We learn things from you guys that are calling. We really do. You have helped Alex and me so many times, and we would hear you, and it just has blessed us. And so, Phyllis, thank you. That was a blessing. Let's go to Kentucky and talk to Mike. Mike, thank you for calling.
Well, yeah, the talk radio, and is particularly, you know, American Family Radio, but a lot of talk radio I listen to, you end up learning a lot of stuff you weren't taught in school, that's for sure. And I heard on another radio network earlier today, and I confirmed this with somebody that listens to yet another radio network, that there are still people needing rescued that are stuck in, you know, maybe even still floating down some of these rivers in the eastern United States. And some of the rescuers, if you remember Hurricane Katrina, I think they called it the Cajun Navy. And I think they even maybe tried to stop them from doing their rescue efforts. These people now are being told they could be arrested for trying to use private rescue efforts with helicopters or whatever to supply these people that are stranded. I just think that's kind of, I don't know what word to use on American,
I don't either,
radio.
Would you do something for me, Mike?
I got to say this.
Go ahead, Alex.
And I got to say this too, the Federal Emergency Management Administration, FEMA. I know a little about FEMA because for 2 weeks I was at Ground Zero right after 9/11, and I worked with FEMA every day. Well, FEMA gets millions of dollars to do things like relief, and it's in the news today that the FEMA money that could be used to help the people impacted are that money has largely been expended on hotels and everything else for illegal aliens.
It is. And I'll tell you what we need to do. We haven't got about a minute and a half left, Alex, and we've said we're going to pray. Mike and Jenny, I know you have a question, Mike, but you've alerted us to something we need to do. And Jenny from Kansas, is Jesus' real name Yahweh? He is Yahweh, but Yeshua is the word. And yeah. But I think we can spend the last minute in prayer. And Mike, I appreciate you calling in. Call tomorrow, and we'll be sure and put you on with your question. Alex, got about a minute and 10 seconds. Would you take us out praying?
Yes, let's pray together, folks. Let's join together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you for the ability to be on the radio in your word. And Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is working. And Lord, I pray in America, you will help us. Father God, we are so blessed, but we need you to convict us of sin, turn our nation back to Christ, help those people impacted by the weather, help our agencies and ministries and individuals and churches all work together. And Lord, empower this nation to serve each other, but most of all to serve you. In Christ's name and for his glory, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Alex, it's a great day. I enjoyed the day. I enjoy every day, but some days are a little extra, and this is one of them. So I thank you, man.
Amen.
Tomorrow is Fire Away Friday. That means you can call in. All three segments will take your calls, and we love to have it. We love to hear from you. So be sure and tune in tomorrow for Fire Away Friday. Tell someone about exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.